The point is, just like with the kids, it is important to know your purpose, and that's the direction we're going to take today. Let's go to God in prayer before we try to figure out anything else. Lord, thank you for giving us the fun of trying to figure out the stuff of our world and its purpose. Thank you for giving each of us a purpose and for giving us creativity to try to find our purpose and for creating things that can then have a purpose and help us in the execution of our own. God, come to us through your word, which itself has a purpose. Its purpose is to teach, to convict, to deepen, to encourage. And we may need all of that at some point in the next few minutes. And so come to us and be alive and active in the reading, the hearing, the study, the soaking in of your word today. We trust you. We're a little bit timid about it, but we trust you. So do what you need to in these moments. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn together to John chapter 12. I think I hinted last week that we would eventually get to this passage, and I wasn't looking far enough ahead in my notes. We're there this week. Thought it was still a week or two away yet. John chapter 12, starting in verse 20. This is actually a story that's happening right after Jesus shows up in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So we're out of chronological order, but just work with me today, okay? Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. That would be the Passover festival. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit and not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. And we'll stop there. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. All right, so this particular story here, like I said, happens right after Jesus comes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The parade has just happened. And so it's interesting when this particular scene opens. It's a parade in Jesus' honor. He's like the focal point of the parade. He's the honored guest on the biggest float in the parade. Like, think Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. He's like the Santa Claus figure. Like the biggest dude on the biggest float. I mean, it's a donkey, but you get the picture. He is the object of the parade. And then these two Greeks want to see him. The biggest understatement of the day. Well, of course you do. Everybody wants to see Jesus. That's the point of this. Like, it's sort of the duh moment that this starts with is, well, yes, everybody does. But it's interesting that these two, they're not two, but there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. Some. There's just a grouping of Greeks. So they're not a part of the Jewish people, the people of God, the chosen people, but somehow they feel like we need to see Jesus. And they don't just go to, they don't try to break through to Jesus, they try to find a way to use their connections to get to Jesus. And at least commentators think that all the smart people who write about this think that maybe they went to Philip, because Philip was one of the few disciples who had actually gone to Greek areas to do his sort of missionary work. He had gone and done ministry among not just Jewish people, but also Greek people. And they thought, this is a person who might we might have a chance with. So they're using their connections rather than just going to Jesus, because they're not sure they're allowed to go straight to Jesus. And it's interesting, because when they go to Philip, Philip is not really sure that they're allowed to go straight to Jesus either. And so he goes and talks to somebody else. He's using his connection. Let me talk to Andrew. And he talks to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip both go to present the idea to Jesus. And fascinating part of the story, we have no idea if these guys ever get to see Jesus. There's no conclusion to this, because when they go to tell Jesus, there's some Greeks who would like to see you, it never concludes, and Jesus decided to see them. Jesus' response, like often happens, is a speech. And Jesus' speech is a, like a, so it would be a sermonette or a lesson. A, you know what it is, and I didn't plan this, y'all. When we were doing this sermon series, this was one of the passages that I thought gave a hint about who Jesus was and how he was trying to explain who I am to people. These last several weeks have been, these are the thought bubbles that sort of, where Jesus is dropping hints about who I am to the people who are around me. But what he tells in these next few verses are a really good summary of everything we've talked about in the last several weeks. Did you hear them on the way through? As I was reading them for you, I don't know if you were watching the screen or just listening or whatever, but let me just read what Jesus says again and see if you can find the residue of the last several sermons. When Jesus says, the time has come, and I will suffer and die, and I will rise again, and I will take the... He doesn't actually say, I will take the curse. We're told that he will be lifted up on a tree and take the curse for us of when anyone is lifted up on a tree. Cursed is anyone who is lifted on a pole. Listen to what Jesus says to them. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it is only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Produces many seeds. Comes up again and produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's kind of also a love like rise again. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And then it would help to jump all the way down to the end. I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Talking about the kind of death he was going to die. That's all about being lifted on a tree and taking the curse. It's almost like, and again, I didn't pick this because it sounded like a good summary of the last four sermons, but this is a great summary of the last four sermons. It's almost like Jesus was trying to recap for everybody. It's all of the hints wrapped into one. And in the midst of this, this telling everybody, hey y'all, this is who I am, this is what I'm here for, we get there's a prayer of Jesus embedded in this, and we'll talk about his prayer a little bit more in a minute. But in the midst of this also, there's everybody sees heaven. There's not going to be a Greek lesson this morning. We've had several Greek lessons in this series, but no Greek lesson this morning, but I'll give you a fancy word if you want one. It's a theophany. A theophany is when people on earth get sort of a glimpse of heaven, some kind of an action of heaven that's visible from earth, action of God. Theophany. When people hear the voice of heaven, or hear, that's what they're not really sure. Everybody's confused about it. The crowd that was there heard the voice saying, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." Said it had thundered and others thought an angel had spoken to them. But it was, they experienced heaven on earth. There is some sort of a connection between heaven and earth going on. And that's all happening in this of Jesus' little speech here. We have no idea if the Greek people got to talk with Jesus or got to see him like they wanted to. But we do know that Jesus gave a good idea of who he is and what he's doing, and people connected with heaven itself in the midst of it. And Jesus expressed his heart. Now, Jesus' expressing of his heart comes out in the form of this, I'm going to call it a troubled prayer, because he actually talks about his trouble in the midst of it. It comes out right in the sort of the middle of this passage in verse 27. He says this out loud, but it sounds very, very personal. It comes off like it's an actual prayer from Jesus. My soul is troubled. It's a confession from him that, you know what, I'd really rather not be in this situation. I'd rather, if I could pick, I prefer to not go through with the stuff that's coming. And you know what? I am the Lord. I could just change it. Jesus is fully aware of all that stuff that Satan tried to tempt him with in the wilderness. That if he wanted to, he could command all the company of heaven to just come and fix it. He could. He had the right to do that. He had the power to do that. And he could change the circumstances. So his heart is troubled. His soul is troubled. Now my soul is troubled. And then you get the conflict in him. He goes, and what should I say though? I mean, I'm troubled, but what am I going to do about it? Because he knows there's some value in enduring this though. I mean, I might be troubled, but there's more to this than just my trouble. The prayer as part of this is, Father, save me from this hour. But it's not really a plea to God to do it. He's admitting, what am I going to do? Pray this prayer? A prayer like, Father, save me from this hour? Because right away he answers himself. He's like, this is a rhetorical question. What would I pray? Father, save me from this hour? No, 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 I can't pray that. Because that would defeat the whole point. I can't do that. I must not do that. That would mess up the whole thing. The trouble of the hour is, it might be uncomfortable, but the whole point of the earthly life of Jesus, and he knows it, is the suffering and dying in order to rise. You can't rise until you do the suffering and dying part, until you take on the curse and suffer and die, or suffer and die in order to take on the curse. Unless you follow the whole trajectory of this, you can't do the rising again part. It won't work. The whole point of this is this hour. The thing that's different about this particular passage is in verse 23, when Jesus says, the hour has come, it sounds a lot like the time has come, which this passage was when we did that particular message. That was from the book of Mark. Those were the first words in the book of Mark, the first words out of Jesus' mouth in his ministry. In the book of John, the way John presents the whole life of Jesus, Jesus has talked about the hour a lot during the course of his ministry. And when the hour will come, several times throughout his ministry. But it's always been until now, until verse 23, he has always said, the hour has not yet come. That it's not yet the hour. The hour will come eventually. It's not yet the right time. And this is the first time in the book of John that Jesus says, the hour has come. Now is the time. He knows that the actual purpose is actually coming right after this Palm Sunday moment for him. That the suffering of Jesus is going to be where the glorifying of the Father happens. You notice that right after he says, for this very reason I came to this hour, that's when he says, Father, glorify your name. This is Jesus understanding his... Depends on your translation, because this word gets translated. To be fair, this is not even a word. It's for this I came to this hour, is how this shows up in the actual Greek translation. That's why we don't have a Greek word today, because there's not actually a word for reason or purpose. In your translation, you would have it as for this reason or for this purpose I came to this hour. There is no word in the Greek to give you today. It's just for this. But we need a word there to understand. It's for this reason. Jesus understood his reason. His reason for being. And he was confidently trying to live and be within that reason. That's what he's trying to share with us in this sort of last hint that he's giving us. That's why he's recapping everything. I need you all to understand who I am, the reason for my existence. Let me explain this to you. And in Jesus understanding the reason for his being or his purpose, you can see him acknowledging that it's not his favorite. When he got right down to it, but he knew what the reason for his being was. He knew what his purpose was. And so he refused to pray for deliverance from that purpose. Instead, he prayed for the best work of God to be accomplished through what God was calling him to be and to do. At the risk of oversimplifying that in terms of application for us, do you know your reason for being? Can you confidently say that you know where God needs you, what you're supposed to be doing? And if the answer to that is no, or not exactly, there could be a couple reasons for that. Maybe it's because you feel kind of like adrift and without purpose. Maybe you don't know enough about how God has wired you. Or it might be because you know your gifts really well. You know how God has wired you, but you're just kind of in a season where you can't figure out where and how to deploy the gifts and resources that God has given to you. If either of those things applies to you, I want to at least suggest to you that we've got some tools for that. We actually, a little over a year ago, we did a series on spiritual gifts, and we happened to acquire access to a spiritual gifts tool that a lot of people who were, if you weren't attending church here then, we still have access to that spiritual gifts tool, and we will share the link in an all church email this week, and maybe we'll throw the link up on Happenings this week so that you can use that tool and do some discovering of your own gifts if you've never done that before. We encourage you to do it and to spend some time exploring how God has gifted you and how that might play out in this particular season of your life. And it's never too late to do that either. That's not just for people trying to discern what career path to take as a aspiring college student. That's for everybody. But it might be that just as you consider purpose and what God may have in mind for your life, that you're just feeling kind of frustrated. It might just be where you are in life that you're just kind of frustrated or confused or discouraged. And just in a season where that's just what purpose feels like right now for you. Friends, if that's you, Deb Boss is our caring director. That's Deb right there. She didn't stand up this morning, and we'll have prayer teams available after. Somebody will be up here to pray if you need that after worship. Or my name's Todd. I'm the lead pastor here. Any of us would love to pray with you. If you're a regular around here, your elders and deacons' spaces are on the wall outside of our office as you head out the glass doors. Please look up. We want to be with you in the midst of the confusions and frustrations of life. And when life is hard, we want to be present with you and be able to pray with you and see how we might be able to help you in those seasons when it's just frustrating. So let's just agree to stand together with that. If you don't have somebody like sitting close to you that you can turn to in those hard moments. Friends, our Lord knew exactly who he was. He knew what he was supposed to do because he knew who he was. He knew what he needed to endure because he knew who he was. He knew his reason for being. Because he understood his reason for being, he was able to keep his circumstances in perspective. The big ones, the glory-filled ones, and the really, really hard ones, the excruciating ones. All of them for the glory of God. And there's an invitation in that for you and for me, that we might observe the confident resolve of our Lord about his purpose. And that we might gain some of that same resolve by knowing our reason in whatever hour we might be facing. May it be so. Amen?
Amen.
Let's kind of spend a few minutes praying towards that. Lord, as we approach you in prayer this morning, we need you to have your way in us. We know you, and we need to know more clearly you, the one who had an ultimate purpose for yourself and for the universe, to offer salvation and healing and wholeness for all. Lord, help us to know you better and to know the healing that comes through salvation in you, your reason for being. And God, as we know you better, show us who we are and who we're supposed to be, all of us. Sometimes we overplay this. And we The world overplays this, that we are supposed to know ourselves or self-help or whatever, but Lord, we don't want to know ourselves apart from you. We want to know ourselves because we know you. So help us as we meet you and know more who you are, what you came and what you have done for us, that we might know ourselves more clearly, that we would understand our own purpose. And God, for everybody this morning who is feeling like we already know exactly who we are, that we know who you have called us to be, would you grant us continued confidence to pursue who you have called us to be and to do it for your glory and praise? Help us to continue to fulfill the calling that you have given us. And for all who, as we even consider purpose and our reason for being, just feel like we just can't find it, Lord, hear our prayers as we kind of beg you to reveal your heart, what you would have for us. Hear our prayers. Hear our yearning to belong to something, to some calling, to something that you need from us. Reveal it to us, that we might walk more closely with you, more aligned with what you need from us. And help us to experience your goodness as we walk more closely with you. And God, for all who in the midst of calling and the idea of calling just feel kind of broken in this discussion, you are a way maker, a miracle worker, and a healer. And we will trust you. Help us as we struggle to do that. Bind up those who are broken and struggling. Grant purpose even in the broken moments. And be the Lord even of them. And grant the rest of us the awareness and the tenderness to be present for those who need a little extra. Help us to know all of us, as a church and as individuals, what you need from us, and help us to step confidently into it, boldly, ready to belong to you this day and every day, for the glory of you and you alone. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.